The chair call the meeting to order.
Yes.
Right, who is Mr. Hank Ford? Are you serving as chair?
Not that I'm aware of, but
Okay, who is the chair?
is John? John, are you the chair? John Owens? I'm not sure. From last year, I think.
I wasn't appointed chair, no, sir.
Okay, I don't know who the chair was last year. I guess the board votes and elects a chair. I mean, I can serve if that's the right thing. I was on last year, and that was my first year as.
If I recall, Roger used to be the chair.
My understanding from last year is that there hadn't been a chair selected, and that John Wagner led the meeting because of that. But I'll defer to however.
John basically led the meeting because he basically knew more than the rest
He
of
knew
us.
the agenda, right?
Yes. But I mean, you can, I don't really even know the duties of the chair. I'd suggest that Stephen, I'd suggest that you lead the meeting, and I think we all just need to vote, right? Discuss, understand the issues, and then vote on them.
Right. The ordinance states that the Board of Adjustment shall elect a chairperson for a 1-year term. And so I suppose we could, Steve Strickland has noted that there's a quorum, and we could call the meeting to order at this point at 6:57. And then the board may elect either for a 1-year term or just for purposes of this meeting a chair. And then that chair will preside over this meeting with the assistance of staff, of course.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to do it if the rest of you want us to, and I'm happy to have if there anyone else feels like they have a little more experience with it, I'm happy for them to do it.
Okay. Hearing no other nominations or volunteers, is there a motion to elect Mr. Hank Ford as chair?
I make a motion that we make Mr. Hindquarters as chair of the Board of Adjustments.
I
Okay,
second it.
is there any discussion on that, on the motion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations.
Oh, gee, thanks. Well, maybe you can let me know what the duties are, but as far as I mean, I can attempt to run this. I did read the agenda, and I think Stephen put everything down fairly clearly. I don't know if there's anyone in the audience that wants to speak on either of these matters. Maybe I should let Steve kind of fill us in on what's going on.
So first item, if I may, first item is roll call on the agenda. So Mr. Strickland, would you like to take the roll call on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Henry Slay Jr. Absent. Sandra Jacobson.
Present.
Denise Anderson. Absent. John Owens.
Present.
Joseph Mosby.
Present.
Michael Honigford.
Present.
And Councilman Dennis Fuller.
I'm present.
Thank you.
Okay. And then the ne next item of business, Mr. Chair, is public agenda item comments, whether there are any who've requested to comment. This would be the time. Here, Ms. Alvin, is there anybody trying to speak, or have there been any written comments provided in advance of the meeting on any agenda items or otherwise?
No written comments, and nobody has their hand raised.
Okay. And there's no old business at this point?
Right.
Correct. So then new business, we'll turn it over to staff, Mr. Strickland. Would you, are you going to present on this first item?
Yeah, I can provide a brief synopsis of staff's report.
Okay, this is with respect to variance request BOA 25-01. And then I'll let you can take it from there along with the chair and proceed with the business.
Sure. So this is a variance request for the subject property, 8537 Kemplin Place. It is a variance request to section 400.1070 of City Code, which is regarding building setbacks for corner lots. Specifically for this lot, it is at the corner of Kemplin Place and Woodson Road. Essentially, the applicant has proposed to build a building addition for a garage, to construct a new attached garage addition onto the existing home on this lot, essentially in order to build a larger attached garage onto the home. It is, being an existing corner lot, the building setback is allowed to be reduced on one of the two front yard setbacks that it is subject to as a corner lot, which allows the property to reduce the longer of those two property lines to 15 foot setback from 25. However, the applicant is requesting to build that attached garage up to 12 foot 4 inches to the property line. And you can see in the plan provided by the applicant in the packet, the shape of the lot is fairly unique in that it is kind of triangular in shape. So the angle of that lot does create a bit of an issue for any building addition. So even the exception that's allowed by the code for that reduced setback still does create an issue with that lot. In addition, the applicants mentioned that the distance that is required for on-street parking from the stop sign does create additional restrictions as well, which is part of the reasoning behind the desire for the garage. So staff has prepared a report for the board's consideration, including the standards for granting variances, where we have provided staff's interpretation of those four listed standards, which include the variance requested arises from a condition which is unique to the property in question and which is not ordinarily found in the same zoning district and is not created by an action or actions of the property owner or the applicant. Staff has said that while City Code does accommodate corner lots by allowing for reduced setbacks, the subject lot does have a uniquely angled shape, which could limit how structures would fit on the property. The second standard, the strict application of the provisions of this chapter from which variances from which a variance is requested will constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property owner represented in the application. Staff said that the strict application of this chapter may constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property. The third standard, the variance requested will not adversely affect the adjacent properties or public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community. Staff said that it hasn't been demonstrated whether the variance will have an adverse effect on the adjacent properties. Leave that to the applicant to address that. Wasn't really addressed with the application. And the fourth, granting the variance desired will not violate the general spirit and intent of this chapter. Staff said it does not appear that the granting of the variance will violate the general spirit and intent of this chapter. Again, those are staff's interpretations for the board to consider. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that the board has before the applicant presents, unless but, the board usually allows the applicant and public to address those first.
I'm just gonna interject here real quick, and if you are here to the applicant to speak on this one, can you please raise your hand so I can promote the correct people? Thank you.
Hello. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you, sir.
Okay. Yes, my name is Alvin. I am the applicant. My wife is floating around. She's working, but she is here as well. I'm not sure if you, I'm assuming you all got the packet and have all of the information. So I'm not sure if you all have any questions directly for me, but what I will say is regarding whether it has a, any adverse action towards any neighbors or anything, I only have one neighbor, which is to the left of me, so I don't think that it would affect them, being that it's not on their side. However, it will have a positive effect for everybody in this subdivision or in this community. If any of you all are familiar with this particular intersection, it is a very busy intersection. And then I'll also say that, unfortunately, because of the limited parking that Mr. Strickland referred to, I've had a vehicle that's been damaged by a city trash truck before that was just legally parked there. You know, my vehicle was parked in my driveway. Right now, I have a larger SUV. We have a one-car garage. However, the vehicle that we have now does not fit in that garage. This would allow us to extend that garage and make it suitable for that SUV to fit in the garage. I also think it's important to note that when the tornado storms came back in May, that vehicle suffered very severe damage. And I feel like had we been able to do this garage, which obviously we hadn't applied at that time, but if we were able to do the garage, excuse me, going forward, it would protect that from happening in the future. And with us having multiple vehicles, obviously there's a huge, you know, it blocks traffic if our vehicles are legally parked in our garage, in our driveway right now, because of it being so narrow. If we were able to add this addition, it would give us more room to park side by side, which allows traffic to flow freely. And another, my last concern, and again, this was noted in the document that I provided already, my daughter, she's going to be driving soon herself. So that adds another problem to this, another vehicle, you know, and that's why we're trying to prepare accordingly and free up the space and provide adequate parking for our family. And thank you all for your time. Again, I'll answer any questions if anyone has any directly for me.
So in support, it seems like it's only the one corner that would impinge upon the setback. And it seems as though, you know, people coming up to the stop sign, it wouldn't hurt visibility, it should be just as easy to come up there and make a left or right turn. You should be able to see fine. It seems like it'd be probably a good addition to the neighborhood.
I would agree that that is the plan for it to. I mean, it's just simply expanding on the current property that we have. I also think it's important to note that we are obviously the property owners, but we all, there are a lot of rentals in the property, and sometimes that, may have, benefit to obviously the people that are renting the property if that's their goal. But we actually live in the property and have been living here long term, so it's more functional as well for us to continue living in this community and being productive.
I see John raised his hand.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with the neighborhood, and I also did do a drive-by just to refresh my recall of the neighborhood. And that is a busy corner because a lot of people in that area come out that way to come to Woodson to avoid the lighted olive.
Yes.
Also of note, the new Target will open next year, and that is also going to increase traffic and probably diverted traffic. People trying to avoid that intersection a couple of blocks south of there and go around, especially those of us who know the neighborhood where you can take Kemplin into Braddock and go around to 82nd Street. So, and looking at the architectural renderings there, it does expand it. I did note that Mr. Franklin was talking about not only is the garage used for housing their vehicles, they also use it for storage for their business because they do work out of their home. So that would increase safety. It would get the vehicles off of the sidewalk. It would increase security for their vehicles and would also raise the property value.
That is true.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other comments? So maybe we should just call for a vote. Okay,
Okay.
so all in favor?
I make a motion that we vote on the current agenda.
On this item on the agenda.
On this item on the agenda. Yes,
Okay.
sir.
A motion to grant the variance, Mr. Owens. Is that the motion you're making?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Further discussion? Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the record will reflect the vote was four to nothing in favor. Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
You're welcome. Good luck with your project.
Thank you, yes. Mr. Franklin. I'm going to move you back to an attendee now.
Thank you. Have a great night.
So the second item on the agenda. Stephen, perhaps you'd like to run through it again, but since you did such a fine job on the other one.
And while he runs through that, if you're here to speak on this agenda item, if you would raise your hand so I can promote you when the time comes, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
So the second item is a variance request pertaining to the property at 6715 Crest Avenue related to the minimum building width as outlined in section 400.1125 of city code. And that is related to properties zoned LR, limited residential. So this property is within the LR, limited residential zoning code. The applicant has proposed to construct two attached single family dwelling units. So it would be essentially one building, two units attached to one another. The existing or the subject lot is 39 feet in width. And this code section requires that the minimum building width for such lots be 20 feet. The applicant has proposed that each of those individual units be 15 feet rather than 20. There is some reference to conditional use permit in the application that was kind of an alternative way to go, another application that was discussed as part of this, but we did advise the applicant just to go ahead and request it as a variance request. So reduce the building width for those two attached single family homes from 20 feet for those buildings to 15 feet. And yeah, essentially, as I mentioned, the lot itself is 39 feet in width. Related to the standards for granting variances, staff provided our interpretation for the board's consideration. The first one, whether the variance arises from a condition which is unique. Staff said that the condition found on the lot is not unique to the subject property alone, that it is similar to other lots on this street and within this subdivision. Financial considerations are not part of the standards for variance reviews. In the application, there was mention of the financial considerations for this proposal. As opposed to building a single family home on the lot. So that is why we mentioned that in our findings. The second standard for granting variances, the strict application of the provisions of this chapter from which a variance is requested will constitute an unnecessary hardship. Staff said that the strict application of this chapter do not appear to constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property. Number three, the variance requested will not adversely affect the adjacent properties, or public health, safety, or convenience of the general welfare of the community. Staff said it hasn't been demonstrated whether the variance will have an adverse effect on the adjacent properties. And number four, granting the variance desired will not violate the general spirit and intent of this chapter. Staff said that granting the variance may violate the general spirit and intent of this chapter by allowing a variance without justifying a hardship. I'll answer any questions that you may have for staff, or if you'd like to wait for the applicant to present that is fine as well.
I guess we should hear from the applicant.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, one second. Let me start my video. Hello, everyone. My name is Andre Chambly. I represent TAS Development. Thanks, Steve, for presenting that. One thing that I do want to make mention when Steve presented about it doesn't create a unnecessary hardship as far as with building a single family home on the lot. The unique differences with this property is that in this section of U City, there hasn't been any new construction on this street. This whole street is duplexes and multifamily. My company, we've been working over in this area of U City for since 2022. And from community feedback and from projects that we've done over there, we try to keep the balance of the neighborhood by bringing high quality of construction and different products to enhance the neighborhood and everything that's going on with the markets at Olive and what the U City is trying to build along Olive Boulevard. And for us to do that is to think of creative ways and unique ways, especially now with tariffs and other things that's rising in the cost of real estate. Now, we can go in there and we can build on that lot. We do own the lot to build on and can start building today. What I do want to point out that is that if we do start building a single family home on that lot, what it does is it causes us to push the price up past $300,000 for in that area. You're talking about a median income is in the price range around about, I mean, I'm sorry, medium income in that area is somewhere about between $30,000 and $50,000, $50,000 a year. And you have, but you also have other residents because it's a prime area in U City that are moving in. So you're starting to see new construction that's becoming to build. And with programs like the HUD program that has been recently cut, that new construction is running up the price. So there's no more any more support where we're getting from the government to build housing at a price to support workforce and affordable housing. This will be the way to bring that, to keep that component in by having creative ways where we can still house two families, two functional families that can support a family of five with a four bedroom, three bath, of two houses that'll each be approximately 1600 square feet apiece. And still we can keep the cost of each house below $300,000. Now, if we were to take the other way and do it how the homes are constructed over there now, where we have top and bottom, that will really bring it back into a rental community from what I'm understanding, what they've laid out in the third ward agenda is to bring more homeowners and not renters. So that's the reason why we're requesting that. I do want to make a mention and note that this is not a one and done, that we do own several lots over in that area. So we're planning on with 6715 being the start of our project of doing several more project, at least building eight more homes in that area, and try to keep it modest where we can keep prices at like right at the mid to high 200s.
You mentioned that the other homes on that street
Yes,
are
sir.
not, they're not single family homes. I looked at just looking at them, I had a hard time telling.
Okay. On right.
The ones in the neighborhood, I thought they probably were single family homes.
Well, it's a divider. Kingsland is a divider. And on the west side of Kingsland, from on that particular street, Crest, you have multifamily homes. On Barbour, you have a mix of multifamily and some single family. And on Chamberlain, you have the same thing, but primarily on Crest, on that particular section, that street of Crest, they're all they are duplexes.
They do play, they have one door, is all I could tell.
Yeah, they have one door, and you go inside, and they separate into two homes. But the purpose of doing this, and let me just note with a con just let me know before I make that note. A conditional use permit, if we were to go for a conditional use permit, it allows for a 20% reduction, which would bring it down to 16 feet. We're only asking really with a variance of a minimum from that 16 feet to a to a 1 foot reduction from that 16 to 15, so we can fit something nice on the life and we can promote urban living. That's our thing, what we do. Our company, we're from Coral Gables, Florida. And what we promote is dense housing, and we do it and we design it in a way to bring about where families can still enjoy and the neighborhood. But what we want to bring something that's different, that's transforming along with that Olive Corridor, so that that's different from what you're seeing now, and that really will give people the spirit of home ownership.
It does look very different from what's there now.
Yes, yes, it does.
Anyone else have comments on this? Yes, John.
Okay, so it's my understanding then that this would be like a duplex residence, not rental properties, correct?
No, it won't be rental properties. We already have lenders that are in place that can support 3.5% of down payment on new construction. You know, we're very vigilant on working ways to get home ownership into the community. So how it will be separated, each unit will be sold to individual home buyers.
I did like the several things about the design, the linear and horizontal aspects of it, by having two stories on each side. It doesn't hamper trying to get one resident that's going to be only upstairs and one that's downstairs. And it also puts the density of the house in the length of the lot as opposed to spreading it out. And you also have two separate entrances, so you're not putting a handicap on either party of trying to get into their own individual residence. They have that that luxury and that convenience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything will have its own separate. Our goal is to design houses to the effect where the homeowners won't notice the difference if somebody's living next door to them or not. So that's even with the soundproofing coming in. As far as speaking on the linear, even though the houses are 15 feet wide, the houses would be 70 feet long and also would come
right
with a backyard and a carport. And upstairs.
I noticed the carport's in the back as well. So
yeah.
I'm thinking the divider wall is going to have sufficient insulation in order to provide soundproofing between the two residents.
Definitely, definitely. It'll have soundproof insulation and the divider wall. It should be about 7 inches with soundproof.
It also provides a fire block to keep
correct
anything from going from one side to the other side.
Correct, correct. Most of our homes, it provides the fire block. It will have the fire block, everything that's needed up to code from one side to the other, and it will also be energy efficient.
What's a lot like a South St. Louis shotgun?
I was thinking New York.
Yeah,
myself,
that too.
But
that too.
Yeah.
So if I may, so Mr. Chambly, you indicated that your intention is to sell the two individual single family units. Is that correct? So wouldn't necessarily be the same person purchasing both, correct?
No. Actually, what we're doing, we have a project that's coming up, and that's indicative of this meeting. The name of the price is going to be a new construction project on infill lots that are in that particular area. That's going to be they're going to be the duplex style like that, but also going to be single family on several lots that we have over there. But we wanted something that was uniform with the neighborhood and that represents a change that's coming along with that Olive Corridor.
So you're going to need, as I understand it, to subdivide the lot. Is that one lot right now?
It's one lot right now. Two ways that we can do it that we've been discussing. We can either subdivide the lot, or it will be a condominium where we will go and write up condominium docs and establish it as that.
That's what I was thinking. It probably would be.
Which would be easier to establish as a condominium.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that? I'm wondering if that would change the analysis, though, for code purposes. If you're going to do a condo, you have to comply with the code provisions on condominiums. And I don't believe this application is for a condo form of a building, is it?
Well,
for a two attached single family.
Stephen, do you want to speak on that, or would you? Do you want me to speak?
I think a two owner condominium is a kind of an awkward thing, isn't it?
No, it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. You would just create a. It would be a two member board.
Yeah, and then one wants to do something, the other one doesn't. It's just to be hard to work with. I wouldn't buy one, but.
Yeah, it was okay. So you're going to need, in any event, you would need to apply for a new subdivision of that. You'd have to apply for a new plat, whether you go condo or you sell the individual units to different owners, right?
Yes. From what we were told from John Wagner, from Mary, is that that would be the case where we would have to apply for a subdivision plat once we receive the variance to go ahead and build, and then we would go through with the condominium provisions with the application.
And for a single family attached, that's a conditional use in that particular district, correct? In the OR district? So you're going to have to go through the conditional use permit process anyway, correct?
No, not if, because of the lot being, the parcel being 39 feet wide of and 140 of and 146 long, it's to keep uniform with the frontage of the parcel is not necessarily as long as wide as we would need it to be. So the conditional use would be for the 16, but again, if we were to reduce it to 16, we only working with 32 total wide feet. When we go along the for the setback lines, we need for each one. We need like five and five on each side.
Okay, but but maybe I wasn't clear. So in the LR district, there are permitted uses and conditional uses. Permitted uses, you don't need a CUP. You don't have to go through that process before the plan commission and approval by the council. So, for instance, if you were to build a detached single family home there, that is a permitted use and you wouldn't need to get a CUP. However, because you are at this point seeking attached single family units, that specifically requires a conditional use permit.
Not necessarily, because it can be attached single family. They can be a top and bottom.
Maybe we have to agree to disagree on that one, but I'm looking at 400.210, and it's the following land uses and developments may be permitted in the LR district subject to the issuance of official use permit. And it says number five, dwellings attached single family.
Okay. So okay.
What am I misunderstanding on that?
I mean, I have to go back and verse myself on that. You telling me something that I'm not aware of, and I don't have my attorney here with me right now. And I'm going by what from what the previous I was working on this before Steve and Becky came in. I was working on this with John and with Mary. And so we were following their guidance with this together. And this is what they recommended, the route they recommended for us to take.
Okay. And I understand that, and I'm just raising these questions. I you know, I just want you to, but as city attorney, my opinion is that you need to get a conditional use permit for dwellings that attached single family. And so if that's the case, assuming I'm correct on that, and you have to get a conditional use permit, as you pointed out, you can receive up to a 20% reduction in the minimum standards, assuming that, and that's a city council discretionary decision, but the council may, under the code, grant up to 20% reduction. So as I read 400.1125 of our zoning code, where it has the minimum building widths and lot widths and setbacks, you're looking at a minimum lot width for each of the two lots you're going to create. You're going to have to create two if you're selling them, excuse me, as single family attached. So you need 20 feet for each. You have 39. So you're going to be a half foot short on each. But with the conditional use permit, that process allows the council to give a reduction of up to 20%. So if the council is so inclined, then you could reduce that to 19 and a half feet per lot. And the minimum building width of 20 feet, I understand you're going to have 30 total for both units. And then that gives you the setback of 5 feet on either side of this, and you're going to have 4.5 feet. So the council would have the discretion again to go from 5 to 4.5 if it's so inclined. So I guess my point is, I think there is a path through the conditional use permit process to get the reductions that you're seeking, although again, it's up to the council as to whether or not they would want to grant them, or whether they would say, you know, we're not. They would decide not to do that, in which case, then, you know, you'd have to look at your other options, if any.
Okay. So I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, but that, I mean, obviously the board's going to decide what it's going to decide on this, but I think you've indicated that there's a unnecessary hardship is not necessarily is not an issue here. And when you apply for a variance, the criteria are set in the code, one of which is unnecessary hardship. And so, and the board has to find that there's unnecessary hardship along with the other criteria. So what I'm suggesting is that there may be another path forward to consider, but that's up to you.
Okay. And you recommend with a conditional use permit.
That you're going to need a conditional use permit. And even if regardless of what the board does,
yeah,
you need a conditional use permit. So rather than have the board decide, of course we can do it. It's especially when you've admitted that one of the factors has not been satisfied, that maybe the better option at this point would be to consider a conditional use permit. If you want. Now, if you want to have your application ruled on by the board today, certainly that's your prerogative. The other would be, you can look into the conditional use permit, and if the board's willing to entertain further discussion on this, depending on how that proceeds, at a later date, you know, so in other words, table it for now, and then take a look at your options under the conditional use permit, under the condo form. We'd have to study that to see whether that's possible. That's not before the board this evening. It didn't come to the board as a condo form of ownership. So you can keep this open and then decide whether you want to revisit this based on your conditional use permit
That's fine. I agree with that. I mean, we can table it for now and I'll look into that. I'll look into that and then we can pick this back up.
But I don't want to usurp the prerogative of the board on this, but I was just suggesting that to the applicant that may be one procedure that he may want to look into further, that cut procedure, because he's going to need to do that anyway. Then the council can decide. We have a council member here, of course, who's only one of seven, but you know, the council may decide that this is something that it would like to see in that neighborhood and be willing to grant the cup for this particular project with no need for a variance, or it could decide that it would rather see a single family home there. And you indicated that you have seven other properties in the area. So what's done for this one, you know, my guess is that you may want to do the same for the other seven. So that may influence the decision of the council and perhaps the board too, knowing, you know, that if it were to grant it here, that you may be coming back and, you know, seven more times for this. And that could have that certainly would have a greater impact on the neighborhood. I'm not saying for the worse, but I'm just saying it would have a greater impact on the neighborhood than just doing one.
Well, I mean, we're definitely looking to work with UCity City Hall and the new planning department. If that'll make it stronger for them to let the board know that that the council, let the council know that the board is in favor of a project like this. You know, we've been working with UCity for the last few years. We continue to planning on continue to work with them. You know, I would like whatever it is that you guys can give that would strengthen this argument. And also you, Mr. Mulligan, anything that any advice that can push this through so we can get some new development over there in this area.
Go ahead, Mr. Council Member Fuller.
All right. I'm not speaking for the council, but I will say this is very exciting on the aspect of new development in the third ward. And I cannot think that anybody is going to be giving you anything but help on this. So I don't want you to view this as a negative.
No, not at all.
Yeah, seriously. And although I'm councilman in the second ward, I will speak for my two colleagues in the third ward. I cannot think that they would not be supportive of this either way that you go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And the other issue that's exciting about this is your concept of providing affordable housing. We've been rolling with other projects in the third ward, and this is really one of the nicest plans that I've seen. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
Please don't work for this.
And just let me invite you all, if y'all ever want to come out and see one of our projects that we're doing, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to me. You know, y'all can see, you know, this is not somebody that's coming into town or saying what they're going to do. This is, you know, a company. We've been in the neighborhood.
You know,
we've been boots on the ground, and we really committed to the UCity's third ward.
So just and this is a little aside from this concept, and then I'll step back from here. But let's say that you were to build, your example was that building as a single family home would be a $300,000 home. What did you, in today's market, would you envision each of these units selling for as a condo?
Each of them, I'm trying to keep the price point at about 280. Right behind this area, you have McBride. They're building homes and they're selling them for about 280. So I just want to kind of bump it up. I want to keep it at that, but I want to bump up the level of a presentation. So UCity has that standard, and I want to keep that standard to UCity. But I'm trying to keep them right around about 280. No more than 300.
Okay, thank you. That's my only question, but I have no vote here tonight, but I'm liaison to this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And go ahead, Mr. Owens.
Yes, sir. And Keep in mind, I'm not presuming anything. I'm just asking a couple of questions. I don't know about the right-of-ways on either side of the property, if there's any leeway there, or if either property owner on either side would be willing to give up 6 inches or a foot that could be purchased as part of that plot in order to get 40 feet of width. And that would help a whole lot, because I was reading in this proposal in the second page, while the city council has the authority to approve the 20% reduction in minimum building width through the conditional use permit from 20 down to 16 feet. That would, I realize that another foot is not a big deal, but it would cut a lot of red tape.
Okay. I can look into that.
Because sometimes people, they're not using that that piece of property that's adjoining anyway. It's just extra grass to cut. And for a minimal cost, you might be able to get your extra foot without causing yourself a hardship. And the homeowner on either side would be happy to get a few extra dollars and solves two people's problems.
That's something. You're right. I'll look into that and see if it's possible. Thanks.
I was going to say my comment on that. I think you've got two existing structures, correct, on either side?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So they have setback issues. They're supposed to be 5 feet from the lot line. So one issue would be if they were, they would have to go through the subdivision plat process and replat their lot to cut a foot off, assuming they can still meet the setback. And so one concern I have, I think it's certainly a creative suggestion, would be whether they would have their own setback problems if they did that. And I think since we're only talking about a half foot on either side, I think that's one that the council, if it's so inclined, could reduce the setback to 4.5 feet. And as a practical matter, who owns that additional half foot, whether it's you or the other lot? It really doesn't matter. It's the space that between the houses that you're focused on. And if everybody's comfortable with that, then you should. I think.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
thank you. I appreciate it. You gave me some things to go by, go back and research. And then if nobody wants to vote tonight, I'm fine with that. And then I can come back. I can, come back once I have a bit more information, and I can speak to some members of the council.
Well, I like to you. Yeah, I like the idea of an out for us, because, we would have to otherwise figure out a way to say that it meets the criteria, which I'm not sure we have right now.
We have that authority. Okay. That's fine. I appreciate it. It was nice meeting everyone, and I look forward to seeing you and working with you soon, talking again.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Take care, Mrs. Chamley.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you,
Mr. You too. All right. So, is our work here done, or is there? There's no old business, right?
Mr. Mulligan, do we need a motion to table this? What do you want to do?
Well, that's up to the board if it's so inclined. My thought would be to have a motion to table in a second, and then. Depending on what the applicant learns as he investigates the CUP process further, he can always put it back on an upcoming agenda and ask the board to vote on it. So the board doesn't have to honor the request to table it, but that it seems like the applicant's fine with that. So for the record, then you would show that it's been tabled.
I move to table.
Second
the motion.
Okay.
All in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. No, or say aye.
Aye.
All right. Aye. Sound like we've tabled it.
vote record reflect 4-0 to table it. Thank you.
So we still have a council liaison report. Is that right?
That's right. So all of you don't know me because I was just appointed to this and you all haven't met for a year.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, well, we'll blame this on the mayor. This is his decision. So to kind of bring you up to speed, we are in desperate need of people to serve on boards. This is a tough board to get and people on. So I'm in the midst of recruiting, and she's been on as a non-participant tonight. But I am in the process of recruiting an architect, which is one of the principal members of this commission. And if you all know of any other folks that would like to serve on any commission, but specifically this commission, please have them either contact me or Lorit, our city clerk. We will get them on as soon as possible. And the other thing that I have, I'm just kind of like, all of you may be aware of this, but we've got several building projects going on or in the midst of or nearing completion. And just a quick review, the Syntax project, John may have to help me out on, I never say that right, but this is the building project in the middle of the loop. Is rolling along nicely. We are now seeing right behind the library, the hotel structure is going up. This coming Friday, those of us on council and are taking a tour of the remodeling that's going on with City Hall, actually with the new police building and the old Trinity Annex, which is going to be our courts building. That's going to be beautiful, and they're making great progress on that. Last night, we in council approved the go-ahead. In essence, it was some tax sorts of things, but the Parkview Apartments, which is right behind on the north side of the loop on Westgate, which is really wonderful low cost housing for senior citizens. That whole project is going into renovation and will begin, I'm hoping, in the spring. But no one who is currently living there is going to lose their residence. They are going to be moved around while all that remodeling goes on. But that's getting a major facelift, and that's really kind of an exciting project as far as I'm concerned. And we had, and I, Becky Alvin, who is on, can speak to this if anybody has any questions. But because this is in my ward, we have begun buyout finally of the flood damaged properties on Wilson Avenue. And that's long overdue. And if any of you have any questions about that, that's a you know, federal funding plus our own funding. And we have people that need to be relieved of those properties sooner than later. So that's all I have. Last thing is, I'll turn this back. I don't know if you need to set a new meeting date, or do we do this on a as-need basis? That's my question.
We've always done it as needed.
Okay.
What we've done before. So
all right. All right, well, I'm trying to recruit new members as well as other people. So if you have people, have them either touch base with me or the I will get an application out to them. And thank you.
Mr. Fuller, how do we reach out to you? How can we contact you?
I unmuted myself. Who said that they're going to reach out to me?
No, this is Mr. Mosby. I was trying to find out.
Hi, Joe. Sorry, gotcha. Thank you. Will do.
He didn't understand the question.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out what your number is. How do I contact you?
Contact me either. My cell phone number is 314-707-6167. Email address is fullerucity@gmail.com.
I got it.
Thank you.
Alrighty, thank you.
I have another, just a, Steven, I know, you know, we've been communicating with you. Becky, I'm wondering what is your position? You're obviously a UCity employee.
I'm really sorry. I don't know why my camera keeps turning off. That's very strange. And now it's not turning back on. There we go. So I am economic development manager, but currently also serving in as the interim planning and zoning director while we search for a new planning and zoning director. So.
And so Steve, is this then a temporary job for you or?
No, he is our senior planner.
You're the senior planner.
And if he tells me that it's a temporary job, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
No, so, not temporary.
So
I'm going to answer for him.
So who is our who is running our little thing here? You know, is this is it Steven or Becky or is it you or who's?
It's a joint task force. Yeah, it's a joint task force of Steven and I. He's the primary communications person right now. Once the new director gets on board, you know, once we hire somebody and get them on board, it'll be a conversation between that director and Steve as to who becomes the staff liaison and manages this.
I see. All right. Well, good. Thanks.
Welcome aboard, by the way, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, nice to meet everybody.
Absolutely.
All right. So I guess we are, is our work here done for this evening?
Yeah, I guess we'll.
You need to call for an adjournment.
Call for adjournment. It would be wonderful to have another member because then I think our quorum would be easier, right?
Well, and we need to updated contact info for some of our current members, but yeah, we're working on all that.
Okay. Well, so. I guess I move we adjourn. Can we get a second?
Can make a second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 All right. Have a good evening, folks.
Nice Thanks. Meeting everybody. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good talking to you all.
Becky. Bye-bye. Becky and Steve, are you able to?